ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर द कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस टेक्स्ट 22 कालाद गुणा व्यतिकरः परिणामः स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महतः पुरुषाधिष्ठिताद् अभूत्। कालाद् गुण व्यतिकरः परिणाम स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महतः पुरुषाधिष्ठितादभू। कालाद् गुण व्यतिकरः परिणाम स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महतः पुरुषाधिष्ठितादभूत्। कालाद् गुण व्यतिकरः परिणाम स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महतः पुरुषाधिष्ठितादभूत्। कालात् फ्रॉम इटर्नल टाइम गुण व्यतिकरः ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन ऑफ द मोड बाय रिएक्शन परिणामः ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन स्वभावतः फ्रॉम द नेचर कर्मणः ऑफ एक्टिविटीज जन्म क्रिएशन महत ऑफ द महत्तत्व पुरुषाधिष्ठितात् बिकॉज ऑफ द पुरुष इनकार्नेशन ऑफ द लॉर्ड अभूत इट टुक प्लेस। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद आफ्टर द इनकार्नेशन ऑफ द फर्स्ट पुरुष कारणदुक्षाई विष्णु द महत्तत्व or the principles of material creation takes place, and then time is manifested, and in course of time the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. Please repeat after me. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, कारणदुक्षाय विष्णु द महत्तत्व और द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ मेटीरियल क्रिएशन टेक प्लेस एंड देन टाइम इज मैनिफेस्टेड एंड इन कोर्स ऑफ टाइम द थ्री क्वालिटीज अपीयर। नेचर मीन्स द थ्री क्वालिटेटिव अपीयरेंसेस they transform into activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord, the whole material creation evolves by the process of transformation and reactions one after another. and by the same omnipotency, they're wound up again one after another and conserved in the body of the Supreme. Kala or time is the synonym of nature and is the transformed manifestation of the principles of material creation. As such, Kala may be taken as the first cause of all creation. And by transformation of nature, different activities of the material world become visible. These activities may be taken up as the natural instinct of each and every living being, or even of the inert objects. And after the manifestation of activities, there are varieties of products and byproducts of the same nature. Originally, these are all due to the Supreme Lord. The Vedanta Sutras and the Bhagavatam thus begin with the absolute truth as the beginning of all creation, janmadasya jataha. Om agyanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya Chukshurunmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kalad Guna Vyati Karaha Parinama Sabhavataha Karmano Janma Mahata Purushadhishthitadabhut. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karana Dakshay Vishnu, the Mahatattva, the principles of material creation, takes place. And then time is manifested. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. So, the mystery of creation has been most authoritatively described here. It's unfortunate that in today's world, the scientific community, they do not want to accept these informations for their own benefit. They simply want to speculate and they come to all kinds of ludicrous ideas. Actually, anybody who is little intelligent and thoughtful will find that these theories that the modern scientists are coming up with, they are so so strange, so funny. They are actually a joke, in simple words. Like, their theories are, they have come up with all kinds of theories. Big Bang theory, primordial soup theory, black hole theory. So, they kind of pass those theories as authoritative and authentic, but actually they're ludicrous. If somebody says that this watch came out of a big explosion or a big bang, will anybody accept it? If somebody says that this watch appeared out of a big bang, there was a big explosion, and from the explosion the watch came, will anybody accept it? If somebody says that this temple was built, the temple appeared out of an accident, will anybody accept it? In our perceivable reality, we cannot accept anything as a product of accident. But the modern scientists, they are considered to be the most learned people, the wisest of all people, the most authoritative individuals. And they are coming up with all kinds of strange, totally unacceptable, absolutely imaginary concepts like that. And the world is accepting. But if they were a little honest, if they were a little sincere, and if they accepted the authoritative statements from Srimad Bhagavatam or Vedic scriptures, then there wouldn't have been any confusion or contradiction. Actually, Vedic literatures are vast. Vedic literatures are comprised of not only one or two books. Vedic literatures consist of thousands and thousands of literatures. But in all those literatures, they are in perfect unison and agreement about the statements. No contradiction. They all are actually accepting the cause of creation to be the glands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, unto the material nature. And as a result of that, the material nature becomes agitated. And as a result of that agitation, the material nature becomes manifested. And what is the cause of manifestation? It is very simple. The Lord's glands is causing the creation. The first element that is created or that is manifested is Mahatattva, the principle of material creation, the sum total of all the elements of material creation. And then is the time. Then the modes of material nature, three modes of material nature. And then the interaction of the modes with different aspects of the elements of the material nature, and in this way gradually the whole creation becomes manifest. It's not that from nothing everything became manifest. Rather, from the absolute reality this material nature became manifest. And where we are getting this statement, like this particular chapter, which is describing the cause of all causes, Narad Muni is asking Brahma, the supreme creator of this universe. He is not the supreme creator, he is the secondary creator. But he knows, and he is describing, so what can be more authoritative a source than this? Brahma is describing. And what can be more scientific? We can use our common sense and find out what can be more scientific than this. Very systematically, the whole creation has been described. The process of creation has been, the entire process of creation has been described. In this particular verse, it's been pointed out that kalad guna vatikaraha parinama sabhavata karmano janma mahata purushadhishthitad aput. Purusha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his three incarnations. They are known as Purushavatars. Those three incarnations of the Lord are three Vishnus. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Kshirodakshay Vishnu. Mahavishnu is also known as Karanadakshay Vishnu because he is lying in the causal ocean. Karanadakshay Vishnu. Somebody's mobile phone is ringing. Just switch it off. So Karanadakshay Vishnu is the supreme cause of creation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead decides to create this material nature, his first manifestation is Karana Daksha Vishnu. Karana, Udak, Shai, Vishnu. All these Vishnu incarnations are relative to creation of this material nature. The first, the Lord lies down in the causal ocean. There's an ocean of cause. Cause is the principle behind effect. Every effect has a cause. And this cause, from the Vedic understanding, from the Vedic concept, this cause is a substance. Just as mind is a substance, intelligence is a substance. The mind, intelligence is not just a concept, it's a substance. Even false ego is a substance. So according to the Vedic understanding, all these are actually substances. So cause also is a substance. And there's an ocean of cause. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to create this material nature, he lies down in that causal ocean. And one aspect of this creation is that due to the breathing of the Lord in the causal ocean, the bubbles that are created, each bubble is an universe. And then he enters in those bubbles, or the universe, unders. Under means round substance. So he enters into that bubble, which is an universe, which was otherwise empty inside. As Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he enters in the universe and then he fills up half the universe with water generated from his own body. Therefore, they are called Swedavari. Because the water was generated from his body, it has been considered to be something like sweat. Just like we sweat, the water comes out of our body. The water was generated from the body of the Lord, and with that water he filled up half of that inside of the universe, Brahmanda. Brahma means vast, and under means a spherical substance. So this Brahmanda, the universe, is a huge sphere. And then he fills up the half of the inside of that, and then he lies down on that, on that water, known as Garbha Udaka. Therefore he is known as Garbha Udaka Shayi Vishnu. Vishnu who is lying in the Garbha ocean, on the bed of Ananta Shesha. And then from his navel, a lotus sprouts. And the first created being in the universe, Brahma, is situated in that lotus. Brahma is generated from the navel of the Lord, the lotus that came out. And Brahma is the secondary creator, in the sense he causes the universe to become manifest. It's something like somebody builds a house and then the interior decorator comes and decorates the house. And he brings in people, fills the house, and so this is how the universe is created. And not only that, there is only one universe, there are unlimited universes. We can consider in this way that Mahavishnu is breathing. He is not breathing only through his nostrils and mouth. He is also breathing from the pores of his body. And each bubble that is created out of this breathing is an universe. Obviously, the universe that is caused out of the breathing from his pore of his body is going to be much smaller than the bubble that is created out of his breathing from his nostrils and mouth. So there are various types of universes. And we have to remember that the universe that we live is one of the smallest ones. To us it may appear to be so vast, but actually it's one of the smallest of the universes. And now the question is, why this is the smallest? Because according to the size of the universe, Brahma has his heads. Like this unit, the Brahma of this universe has only four heads. And there are Brahmas with thousands of heads, millions of heads, billions of heads. So we can see how vast those universes must be. So that, and then we can also consider that the Lord's body is unlimited. So the pores in the Lord's body, the pores in the body of Karanadakshaya Vishnu also is unlimited. So as he is breathing, so the bubbles that are coming out of the pores are also unlimited. So from that calculation we can see that even the material creation is unlimited. So this is how inconceivable is the potency or the ability of the Lord to perform. Now the question automatically arises that are these fictitious statements? Now the first consideration will be that do they sound illogical, irrational? Fiction is irrational. But these statements are very, very logical, and they are very substantially established with proper proofs. And in this way, an intelligent person will consider that these are the statements that are factual, and not only factual, they are absolute truth. There is no room for falsity in the Vedic scriptures. On the other hand, we see that the material conclusions or material things, material statements are fictitious. Like, as I mentioned, in the name of science, they're coming up with theories which are so funny, actually, that there is no substance behind their statements. Like, from a big bang, the creation came about. Now, then the question comes, where did the big bang come? Now, what is the source of that bang? You are saying that there is a big bang, so big explosion, big sound, big noise. Now, who made that noise? If at all it's a noise, if at all it's an accident, in what context that accident took place? You are saying that there was nothing before that, and then you are saying that there was an accident and the creation came about. So can accident take place out of nothing? Can accident take place out of nothing? No, the accident must have taken place in something, about something, in relation to something. Like we say, accident, there was a car crash. So car is there, then it's a question of accident. If the car is not there, where's the question of accident of a car? So this, as I was saying, like, these statements are so ludicrous that even an intelligent class of people are recognizing that. I remember one American philosopher once stated that the concept that this creation came about out of accident is as absurd as saying that there was an explosion in a printing press and the types, when they fell, the Webster dictionary was printed. if there is an explosion in a printing press, do you expect any order out of it or chaos out of it? And the types, the letters that they use for printing, so it fell in such an order that the Webster dictionary was printed. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishakha Devi ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai. Thoda khyal rakhna, aap humko pranam karte hain aur Bhagwan ko aur pair dikhate hain. ये सही है? हाँ, गलत. ख्याल रखना, भगवान का मंदिर है. सो बट द साइंटिफिक अंडरस्टैंडिंग हैज बीन सो सिस्टमैटिकली बीन प्रेजेंटेड हियर इन द वेदिक स्क्रिप्चर्स. सो व्हाट्स द प्रॉब्लम एक्सेप्टिंग दैट? By accepting, do we have any difficulty? No. Rather, on the other hand, like, everything seems to be so rational. And what is the Vedic understanding? The Vedic understanding is that there are two substances or two natures existing side by side. One is the material nature, the other is the spiritual nature. Material nature is temporary, spiritual nature is eternal. And the manifestation of the material nature is also dependent upon the spiritual counterpart. Like, we see in this material nature, there are two types of objects. Matter by itself is inert. Matter is inert. But here are some objects which are matter, but they are animate, they are conscious, they are living. Like, for example, this table is inert, the floor is inert. These walls are inert. But you all, are you inert or you are living? Is there any difference between this cup and you? Is there any difference? What is the difference? You are conscious, whereas this is inert. Now, what makes you conscious? Why you are conscious and this cup is not conscious? This table is not conscious. The floor is not conscious. Why? Because you have the soul in your body. Although your body is made of matter, but due to the presence of the soul, the body is alive. Is it very difficult to accept this fact? Don't we also see that at some point the body becomes inert again? When does the body become inert? When the soul leaves the body? So these are very simple facts that we can very easily accept. And by accepting these facts, we simply enrich ourselves. We become wise. Just by accepting these rational phenomena. There is matter is visible with our eyes, at least the gross matter is visible, perceivable, whereas the soul is beyond our sense perception. We are not able to see the soul, but we can feel the presence of the soul. We can see the difference between a dead body and a living body. Isn't that difference very clear? A person who had been living for so many years, had been performing so many wonderful activities, all of a sudden he's dead. The body that had been alive for so many years, all of a sudden, in a fraction of a moment, it's dead. And when the body is dead, then there is no difference between the table and that body. Because both are inert. So the first consideration is, for a civilized person, the first consideration is, that he must understand the presence of the soul. He must understand the nature of the soul. According to the Vedic understanding, that is the criteria that determines who is civilized and who is not. Those who understand the nature of the soul, the existence of the soul, the characteristics of the soul, he is civilized. And those who do not have the information, those who do not have the developed intelligence to understand the presence of the soul, he is uncivilized. The civilization, according to the Vedic understanding, was not a consideration of building big palaces and making big highways. That was not the consideration for civilization. That was there, but just that alone was not the consideration of civilization, as it has become in today's world. In today's world, civilization is synonymous to the materialistic development. They consider the first world country, who are the first world countries? Who are materially very advanced. They have advanced mechanically, and that's why they're first world. They have a lot of money, that's why they're first world. And in this way, the second world, third world, simply according to the materialistic development. But actually, it is a consideration of one's spiritual understanding. For example, somebody may have achieved a lot materially, but if he doesn't have any information about the spiritual reality and about his spiritual identity, when he dies, what's going to happen to him? Everything is finished. No matter how much money he has, no matter how much he has achieved, no matter how much assets he has accumulated, he'll have to leave everything behind and he's gone. Now, is this progress? No. On the other hand, if a person has proper information, then he knows what is going to happen to him now and after. And accordingly, he determines his activities. So that is what real civilization is. The wisdom is synonymous to civilization. Now, what kind of wisdom? The spiritual wisdom. So we begin from there, that the difference between matter and spirit, difference between the body and the soul. And then we go further into that direction. Where does the soul come from? And then we can, then if we are fortunate enough to receive proper information, then we get to know scientifically, not imaginary understanding, scientific understanding, factual understanding, where the soul comes from. So beyond this material nature, there is another reality, the spiritual reality. And in the spiritual reality, everything is spiritual or conscious. In the material nature, everything is inert. In the spiritual reality, everything is conscious. And this material nature is a perverted reflection of that reality. It's a reflected reality. It's also real, but it is a reflected reality. Like in the mirror, you see your face. The reflection, as a reflection on the mirror, it is real. It's your face that is being reflected. But that reflection is not the reality. That it looks like your face, but it is not your face. But from that reflection, you get to see how you look like. So similarly, from this material nature, which is a reflection of the spiritual reality, we get an understanding what the spiritual reality is like. And then we find that all those informations that are given in the scriptures are tallying with these informations. And that is what a human life is meant for, to acquire these informations and enrich himself so that he can create a better future for himself. When we have the vision, when we have the understanding, when we have the wisdom, then based on that wisdom, we can structure our future. And that future is not related to only this lifetime, but it goes beyond this life and life after life until we go back to the spiritual sky. So here it has been very simply yet very profoundly pointed out the how creation actually began. The Lord incarnated as Karanadakshay Vishnu, and then from him the Mahatattva or the principle of material creation appeared, and then time became manifest. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Those three qualities are gunas, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And then it's saying that nature means the three qualitative appearances due to the influence of the modes. Goodness, passion, and ignorance, and then they transform into activities. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna pointed out, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. In this material nature, everything is happening due to the three modes of material nature and the karma or the action-reaction principle. Everything that is happening is a result of guna and karma. As I was saying, that the Vedic scriptures, although vast, they don't contradict. We are seeing what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita and what Brahma is telling Narad in the second chapter of, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the same principle. There Krishna is saying prakriti kriyamanani, everything is happening in prakriti, material nature, due to guna karma vibhagasa, due to guna and karma. And here also the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances, they transform into activities. The three modes, and they transform into activities. Isn't it the same principle, same concept that they are talking about? That's why it is said that truth is one, but lies are many. Truth, the truth. The article the indicates what? Truth is constant. But lie, do you say the lie? No. Never tell a lie. That a is an indefinite article, indicating that the lies can be many, but truth is one. Sun comes up in the east. Will anyone contradict that? Sun always comes up in the east. But if somebody does not accept that, but imagines about or tries to concoct certain ideas, then he can say so many things. Sun comes up in the west, north, south, northeast, southeast, and so forth. But the reality is sun comes up in the east. So those who know the sun, they'll all say the same thing. Those who have eyes, they will see the sun coming up in the east, and they will always say, all the people will say, no matter how many of them, the sun comes up in the east. So the reality is constant. Whereas imaginations are variable. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Mr. Sharma.
Manifestations of the universe or the whole of the Lord, God body, it applies to spiritual creation also?
No. No. Spiritual creation, you see, the spiritual reality is never created. is a creation. Anything that is created, that means anything that has a beginning must have an end. Right? But the spiritual nature is nitya, eternal. Therefore, there is no question of creation of the spiritual reality.
So the transformation of the soul from this material creation has to get out and go to the spiritual sky.
Yeah. Like, we are originally from the spiritual sky. But we came to the material nature, and in the material nature, we are developing material bodies by the nature's arrangement. And we dwell in one body for some time. When you get the body, we call it birth. When you get rid of the body, we call it death. And in between birth and death, the period that we are in the body is called life. Right? So this way, the living entities are constantly traveling. Brahmatam uparijatha. Jantra rudhani mayaya. The living entities are traveling in this universe, riding in a machine called Jantra rudhani, Jantra arura, riding on a machine, mayaya, by the arrangements of maya, material nature. Sometimes we are going up, sometimes we are going down. Sometimes we are kings, sometimes we are paupers. Sometimes we are human beings, sometimes we are insects. So in this way we are traveling. But originally we don't belong to the material nature. Therefore the goal of our special, the human form of life, is to finish this business of traveling in this material nature, which is simply inflicting pain upon us, and go back to our original situation, the spiritual world. And the way to do it is by developing our relationship with Krishna. Thank you. Any other question? Yes. Yeah, good.
When you mentioned that about the causal relation, that causes the substance, but Lord discussed in Bhagavad Gita that five laws and three separate elements, and also the spiritual element, and spiritual reality or Satchitananda. So, this causal relation, this is material or spiritual?
Yeah, this causal is material. Because this is on this side of the material nature. And it has been actually described, you see, the Karana Vari, Karan causal ocean, is beyond, the universes are in the causal ocean, right? The universes have seven layers, right? So when you go beyond those seven layers of the universes, then you come into the causal ocean. And beyond the causal ocean is the spiritual sky. So you can say that the causal ocean is in the border, right? And this causal ocean also is synonymous to Viraja river. Vaikuntha is beyond Viraja, right? So this Viraja is the border, boundary line. That side of Viraja is spiritual and this side is the material. Similarly, the causal ocean, beyond the causal ocean is the spiritual sky, and the material nature is comprising of the causal ocean in a way. The universes are floating in the causal ocean, not floating, like bubbles. They are situated in the causal ocean. But when you want to go to the spiritual sky, it's beyond the causal ocean. No, cause is, you know, when you come to the cause of all causes, I mean, the cause of, you know, causal ocean or cause is the substance that is the cause of Mahatattva also. Yes.
Scientists make their own experiment. So, himself, he said that materialism doesn't work when it comes into the competency of times. And other scientists, when they are developing this more advanced theory than Darwin's theory, this chemical evolution theory.
Chemical evolution.
Yeah, chemical evolution.
Darwin's theory is not chemical evolution.
But this is higher than Darwin's.
Higher than Darwin.
They found that Darwin's theory doesn't work.
Anyway, what's your point? Make it brief.
This is the point. This is how they make their so finally they came that when the translation process in genetic engineering happens, this chemical theory doesn't work. So this Swedish scientist who created this, developed this idea, he himself came up and said, no, no, actually I said all things wrong, everything is wrong, today is wrong, that's a face.
So you mean to say that some scientists are honest?
Some, yeah.
Okay, no. Very good. Any other question? Hari Bol, Gaur Premanande, Hari Bol.